Hey, Jessica, check out this chapter on sensors. It's wild how much stuff can be sensed these days, right?
Seriously, it's like everything is a sensor now. Let's dive in. What's the gist of it?
Okay, so the chapter's all about what threat actors, bad guys basically, can see and do using sensors. It's not just about spies with cameras. It's about the whole cybernetic system. Sensors, actuators, things that do stuff, communication, and control. It's like a loop where sensors feed information to a control mechanism, which then tells actuators what to do. The chapter breaks down different types of sensors and what they can observe.
Cybernetics, huh? Like, the whole world is a giant machine? That's a bit much, but I get the idea. So, what are these observables they keep talking about?
Observables are the things that can be observed. It's not just what a sensor can sense, but what's actually seen and understood. The chapter quotes, "A man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest." It's about how our brains filter and interpret information. We don't just passively take in data. We actively look for what we expect. Our focus of attention, even things like squinting, change what we can observe.
So it's not just about the tech. It's about how we process the information. We're all biased in what we see and hear. That's a good point. What can be sensed?
This is where it gets crazy. The chapter lists a bunch of sensor types. It starts with cameras, using a cell phone camera as an example. It breaks down the specs: megapixels, resolution, field of view, stabilization. It explains how the camera's capabilities translate into what it can actually see.
Okay, so it's not just a picture, it's about the details. Like, how far away can it see something clearly? What's the resolution? And how does movement affect the image?
Exactly. And it goes on to say that cameras can sense a wider range of light frequencies than our eyes can see. They can use infrared, see microscopic things, and even compensate for things like shaky hands. It's not just about the raw data. It's about how the camera processes and interprets it.
That's wild. So, what else can they sense?
Microphones are everywhere. The chapter says, "Typical modern computer microphones are very small and part of almost any device you can name. They can pick up a huge range of sounds, far beyond what humans can hear." It talks about decibels and frequencies, and how dogs can hear sounds that humans can't. It also mentions parabolic reflectors to amplify sound from a distance.
So, they can hear a lot more than we think. And it's not just about recording conversations. It's about analyzing the sounds.
Exactly. The chapter says, "People can be identified by their heartbeat by listening with a special purpose device up to 200 meters away. They can identify keystrokes, hear what's happening in other rooms, and even map a room by how sounds bounce around." It also mentions footfall, clothing sounds, and background noises. It's all about the details.
Wow, that's like something out of a spy movie.
The chapter talks about how sound and pictures can be used to pinpoint location. If you hear the ocean and a boardwalk, you can narrow down the location. It also mentions GPS, cell towers, and Wi-Fi. It says, "Digital devices tend to provide and reveal location and motion as well."
So, our phones are constantly giving away our location. And what about video?
Video is a big one. The chapter says, "Video from fixed locations, such as closed circuit video, are often used in investigations to figure out who did what and when." It mentions facial recognition and tracking people over time. It also talks about satellites and drones.
It's like, nowhere is safe.
This is about the signals emitted by electronics. The chapter says, "Emanations from any mechanism using electrical components, including people whose cells interact using electrical signals, can be sensed and analyzed using a wide range of sensory mechanisms." It talks about lasers, signal processing, and how they can detect brain activity. It even mentions that signals emitted by computers can be analyzed to find out what's on the screen or what's being typed.
So, they can read my mind, basically?
Well, maybe not read your mind, but they can detect brain signals. And it's not just about computers. It's about anything that emits electromagnetic waves. It also mentions that most speaker systems can be turned into listening devices.
Okay. So what about the environment? Can they sense that stuff?
Absolutely. Pressure sensors can detect entry and exit from spaces. Temperature sensors can detect the presence of people. It mentions humidity, carbon dioxide levels, wind speed, and pollution. It also talks about ocean sensors for things like tsunami detection.
So they can tell if I'm in a room, how many people are in the room, and even what the air quality is like.
This is where it gets really interesting. The chapter talks about chemical sensors that can detect specific compounds, like perfumes. It also mentions biological sensors, like DNA sequencing. It says, DNA is generally considered to be unique to individual humans and other animals, except for identical twins.
So they can identify me from a single cell? That's insane.
Yep. And it's not just about DNA. It's about all sorts of biological and chemical signatures. It says, people emit different biological and chemical signatures as they pass through spaces, and this is also affected by what they eat, their health status, time of day, time within other biological cycles, exercise patterns, and so forth. It mentions that dogs can detect cancer from smells.
Wow. It's like we're constantly leaving a trail of breadcrumbs.
The chapter says, the development of nanotechnology has made leaps and bounds. These sensors are tiny and can detect a huge number of different molecules. It's like having a superpowered nose and tongue.
So they can detect almost anything?
Pretty much. It's all about the details. The chapter says if they want to spend the money on it, they could presumably make a sensor to detect almost anything they want in terms of particles in the air or water.
Okay, so what about people? Can they use us as sensors?
Absolutely. The chapter says, we aren't just talking about spies, but they are included, of course. By observing people online and in person, anything they express, either directly by things like what they say, and indirectly by what they do, is something that can act as a sensor relating to other people or things.
So, our actions, our words, everything we do online and offline can be used to gather information.
The chapter then moves on to active sensors. These are sensors that actively send out signals and look for reflections or changes. Radar, sonar, and LiDAR are examples. It also mentions The Thing, a passive listening device given to the U.S. Embassy in Moscow.
So they can use these to see through walls or listen to conversations from a distance?
Exactly. The chapter says, in general, any signal sent into an area that is altered by conditions in the area and can be observed outside the area can be used for active surveillance.
Okay, so what about all the information that's already out there? Like records and stuff?
This is a huge one. The chapter says, information of all sorts form the basis for almost every facet of modern society. It lists archives, governmental records, financial records, usage logs, audit trails, communications, stored content, time and place information, and attribution and attestation infrastructure.
So everything is recorded somewhere. My bank transactions, my internet history, my social media posts. It's all there.
Yep. And it's all interconnected. The chapter says, financial records include transactions, accounts, balances, dates, times, and places of presence and activities, details of what you buy or sell from or to and whom, credit ratings, balances, income, expenses, and payment histories, groups and societies you are a member of, active in, fund, or get funded by. And when fused together, associations of all sorts reflected in financial activities of the society writ large. The chapter emphasizes that the real power comes from combining all these different sensors and analyzing the data in new ways. It says, the full set of surveillance capabilities in a location comes from combining all of the available mechanisms identified here, plus those I forgot to mention or didn't know about, in every possible way they can be combined over time, and analyzing them with all known and then available methods of analysis, then combining that with other knowledge from other sources to figure out what's going on.
So it's not just about collecting data, it's about analyzing it. What are some examples of what they can do?
The chapter mentions traffic analysis, which can reveal your user ID and passwords even if you're using encryption. It also talks about how reflections off walls can be used to read what's on a video display. It says, by watching network, radio, or other signals between communicating parties, the content of the messages can often be revealed, even if at a low level of granularity.
So, even if I think I'm being private, I'm probably not.
The chapter then talks about where these sensors are located. They're everywhere. It mentions dust, tags, household appliances, cars, infrastructure, and more. It says, sensors are placed in underground, on ground, underwater, on water, aerial, and space systems, including fixed and mobile systems. Anywhere.
It's like a giant spiderweb of sensors.
The chapter then discusses the difference between surveillance, observation, and sensing. It says, surveillance can be thought of as what they chose to observe versus what they can observe or sense. It has to do with their focus of attention. It emphasizes that no one can observe everything all the time. They have to choose what to focus on.
So it's about what they choose to see, not just what they can see.
Exactly. The chapter says, as a fundamental, it is a reasonable assumption that if a major government wants to focus attention on you to the maximum extent, they may be able to gain access to and analyze all of the sensor data from every sensor you are meaningfully sensed by, and perform all of the analytical functions available to them or anyone else they may want to hire or exploit.
So, the best way to stay under the radar is to not attract attention.
Yep. The chapter says, stay below their radar. It's about not doing things that trigger their observations.
Okay. So, how does this all work in practice? Can you give me an example?
Sure. The chapter uses the example of trying to figure out if someone has a dog. It breaks down all the different sensors that could be used: cameras, microphones, motion sensors, location data, chemical sensors, and more. It also mentions informational sensors like dog ownership records and online activity.
So, they'd combine all these different pieces of information to build a picture of whether someone has a dog?
Exactly. The chapter says, a systematic approach would be to go through an inventory of your capabilities for observation and identify all of the observables that might allow information on the dog-Josh-human relationship.
What about the environment? Does that affect how the sensors work?
Yes. The chapter says, sensors, like all physical things, operate subject to environmental conditions. Their precision, accuracy, timing, range of observables, and other properties change with temperature, pressure, humidity, and so forth. It uses the movie Sneakers as an example of how you can manipulate the environment to fool sensors. So, the chapter is a bit of a wake-up call. It shows how much information can be gathered about us using sensors. It's not just about cameras and microphones. It's about everything. It's about the details, the analysis, and the interconnectedness of all these different systems.
Yeah. It's pretty overwhelming. It's like we're living in a world where everything is being watched and recorded. It's a bit scary, but also fascinating.
Definitely. The chapter ends by saying, I think that ship has sailed. The horse is out of the barn, Pandora's box is wide open, and trying to stop it is like spitting into the wind.
Well, at least we know what we're up against. Now we just need to figure out how to survive in this cyber age.